Hallelujah. Praise his holy name forevermore. He is good, isn't he?
Amen.
Praise God. Well, I don't know what all this is about, but I'm just going to go ahead and obey God and say this, so make sure you're listening. That person in here, we won't call that out, but that person in here that's believing God for a baby, that maybe you've been told you can't have one or you've struggled having a baby, God's your answer to having that baby.
Amen.
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 God's the answer to having that baby. He is the God of the impossible.
Yes.
He is the God of miracles, signs, and wonders.
Amen.
And if you'll turn to Him, praise God, you'll see His hand move mightily in your life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We love you, Jesus. We thank you. Is that biblical? Well, we see it in the Word over and over again. People that were told they couldn't have babies, and they had babies. Praise God.
Amen.
And hallelujah. And yeah, how do I say that, Father? It's a twofold application because it's important to mention this for faith reasons, that it applies to those that have talked to me, but there's also situations that I'm unaware of that God is saying that there's the baby will come. Praise God. You'll turn to Him. So if you've talked to me about it, you keep your faith going. You'll see it happen. But there are also situations and things, like I said, there's more I don't know. And this came up out of my spirit for somebody that I don't know their situation, but I know it by the Holy Ghost. And God's your answer.
Amen.
So how would He have known to say that? That's why God's awesome.
Amen.
That's the kind of stuff. So we have precedent in the Word of God of people that can't have babies and having babies. And the Bible says that with man, things are impossible, which doctors are men. We're thankful for doctors and men and women doctors and things like that. But there's times where doctors will say, you can't have a baby or you can't do this. But God says, yes, you can.
Amen.
And we've seen it over and over again. We've seen it time and time again, miracles, signs, and wonders. And so whoever that pertains to, make sure that you don't miss that, but that you go on with God in a place. And I'll just say this. I'd probably plug myself in the place that told me that read my heart like that.
Yeah.
You know, so many times I don't think we're clear about telling people that, you know, I'm very clear of where I tell Caleb to stay away from. You know, the road that has people are driving 55, 60 miles an hour, I'm very clear to say, stay away from there, bud.
Sure.
And I'm very clear to say, stay back here because it's safe. This is a safe place.
Amen.
This is a place where you can hear the Word of God, where the Spirit of God's moving, where things like that will happen. And if you'd like, you can mention it to me after service. Pastor, you were talking about me. Well, you don't have to do that. But it'll come to pass if you'll do your part, which is you got to dive in. Just get in with God. Plant yourself somewhere that, you know, praise God. Anyways, let's go on. 3 John verse 2. But it is important that keep your faith on that. Praise God. 3 John 2. This is the best part of our week, whether you know it or not.
Amen.
I'm just trying to tell you it's the best part of your week.
Yes.
You might not know it or think it or feel that way, but it is.
It is.
To hear from heaven. He says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Well, that's good.
Amen.
That's good news.
Yes.
Praise God. And I remember hearing a minister one time say, the way they said it was, if you came here today, we're not going to talk about any of that health and wealth gospel. I thought to myself, well, then you must not want to talk about the Bible.
That's right.
Because the Bible's littered with it. Littered with healings.
Yeah.
Littered with prosperity.
Right.
People being blessed and set free in both of those areas.
Yeah.
He says right here, I wish that you would, but this is the point I want to make here. He says, I wish that you would, above all things, prosper and be in health.
Yes.
Notice he doesn't say those, and that prosperity is tied to more than just money.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
I don't care how rich you are, if you're depressed in your mind, you're not rich. Hollywood has money, but Hollywood is struggling. A lot of them. You see things, you're like, how in the world can someone with that life? Well, because what we've blown up to make money everything, it's not everything. No, it'd be nice to have a little more of it. Sure, absolutely. Nothing wrong with that, and praise God. But anyways, that's not the end. You know, prosperity's tied to your children. It's tied to your health. It's tied to, you know, I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what, having $1 million, but being on a sick bed, who cares?
Yeah. That's right.
I'll take my health over the money any day. I mean, wouldn't you? I mean, there's times people go through things, they're sick, and they'll even say, I'd pay any amount of money to not have to go through this, showing you that the health trumps the money. And so the prosperity is tied to a whole lot. It's tied to peace of mind. It's tied to freedom from depression, fear, anxiety, worry. It's tied to a good marriage. It's tied to your children serving God. It's tied to a whole lot of things. So he says, I wish that. Basically, that's the flow of heaven. That's called abundant life.
Amen.
But what I want you to see is those things are attached to something. He says, I wish that you'd be in that flow even as your soul prospers. Well, if you don't know anything about the Bible, you might not know that you're a three-part being. You are a spirit which will live on forever. Your spirit is housed in a body, which is your shell, and you have a soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. This is already talking to Christians whose spirits are already prospered. They've been made brand new.
Hallelujah.
How much better can it get? The spirit man. And he says, but your health and your wealth are attached to your mind prospering. As your soul prospers, so will the other things in the natural. Your mind and what you do with your mind is tied to a whole lot of things. It's tied to a whole lot of things. My goodness, is it tied to a whole lot of things.
Amen.
Your health and wealth depend on what you do with your mind.
Yes. Right.
Your mind is the greatest battlefield that you'll have to deal with on this earth.
That's right.
By far. And I'll show you some things in the Word. It is by far, if you don't have a disciplined noodle, isn't that what they call the brain? A noodle? If you don't have a disciplined noodle, yeah, the Word says that as a man thinketh, so is he.
Yeah, that's good.
Your life will never be any better than your thought life.
That's right.
It never will be. And we'll see some things in the Word, and we can see here that God says, yeah. But notice he said it's not automatically going to happen for you. He says it's tied or attached to your soul prospering.
Yeah.
Your mind has to prosper for everything else to prosper. And I'll show you that in the Word. Go to Romans chapter 12. Hallelujah. We're going to get help today.
Amen.
Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. God is awesome.
Amen.
He's a miracle-working God. Praise His name forevermore. Romans 12 and verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Now remember, we told you you're a three-part being. When you got born again, I wish this was the case for me. I'll tell you, you should see how good I am at basketball. I'm serious. I am amazing at basketball in my dreams. I mean, you should see the dunks I do in my dreams. I mean, spins in between the legs, and I mean, I am just in my dreams. I'm good. But I'm taller in my dreams. When I got born again, my body stayed the same. Unfortunately. You know what? I could have today a little more, maybe anyways, you know, just give me, you know, some abs would be good, some bigger muscles, you know, some tall. I'd be nice, Lord, but it didn't happen. And when I got born again, my mind didn't change. I still thought the same way.
Sure.
But what changed was I was reborn on the inside. The one-third of the three-part being that I am was made brand new. It was the body and the mind that stayed the same. Well, the Bible tells us these two verses here, what we do with those things, the body and the mind. And if we don't do what the Word says to do with them, that's when we get into trouble. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, that's one-third of that three-part being that houses your spirit man, that you presented your body a living sacrifice. Now, I'm so I don't mean to do this. You never thought you'd hear your pastor swear in church and say a dirty four-letter word. You never thought that, but I'm about to. Present your bodies holy, H-O-L-Y. That's one of the dirtiest four-letter words in the church circles today. I'm sorry, I had to say it. Dirty mouth? I better go wash my mouth out with some soap or something. I just said a cuss word in church. Holy. I mean, you say, what are you talking about? Nobody wants to hear about it anymore. They want to hear about the grace, which thank God for the grace, but the grace has to be tempered with the Word of God. You can't just do and live however you want and expect the blessings of God to come on your life. In fact, there's lots of people in the Word of God that got disqualified or got not even just disqualified, but got derailed for a while because they didn't do the right things with their body. Now, thank God for repentance. I mean, we've all done dumb things, right? We're so thankful for that mercy. But the Bible says what you're to do with your body, and any time you don't do what the Word says, that's where trouble arises. It says to present your body holy to God. Yeah. Well, the Bible says, be ye holy as I am holy. Now, we're not talking about holiness today, but it's worth mentioning. Be ye holy as I am holy. Well, how is God holy? God doesn't do certain things. God wouldn't put certain things in His body. God wouldn't look at certain things. God wouldn't say certain things. God wouldn't use His hands for certain things. God wouldn't use His mouth for certain things. God wouldn't look upon certain things. And the Bible tells us, see, it's not, well, pastor, you're a pastor. You do. No. The standard isn't the pastor. The standard's God.
Amen.
And He's the holiest there is ever.
Amen.
He's complete perfection. And that's the standard. Because I think a lot of people sometimes think, well, pastor, that's good for you. No, I'm not the standard. He is. I'm shooting for His standard. And a lot of people, they fall so far below that standard. But anytime you go out the boundaries of the Word of God, that's when we struggle a little bit. And see, here's what you need to understand. When people see that, they come from the wrong angle. They'll say, see, that's why I want nothing to do with that God. He is just judging me, condemning me, and He doesn't want me to have any fun. No, see, you're looking at it the wrong way. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So when God says to present yourself holy, there's no sin involved in the word holiness. So when He says keep your body from sin, He's saying, I'm trying to keep you from death. See, the underground fence you put in your yard for the dogs, it's not there because you don't love them. It's there because you love them. The fences that you put around your horses or whatever animals you have, it's not because you don't love them, it's because you love them. The parameters of the Word of God is not meant to box you in to make your life miserable, it's to give you the most blessings and the best peace and protection that you've ever had. Absolutely. I don't have boundaries for Caleb outside because I don't love him or trying to make his life miserable. No, I love him so much, there needs to be boundaries. See, because the wages of sin is death, not that God brings the death, but when you step into sin, you're stepping into the devil's territory and you're opening the door, and his resume is stealing, killing, and destroying.
Yeah.
So we don't want that.
That's right.
So the Bible says to present your body holy. Praise God.
Yeah.
How holy? Just the way He would. What does that mean? Don't look at it if He wouldn't. Don't say it if He wouldn't.
Yeah.
Don't take it, drink it, whatever, if He wouldn't.
Yeah. That's good.
Don't go where He wouldn't go. Don't act like He... People say, oh, Pat... No, I'm just telling you the Bible. You can hear whatever you want to hear. I could come up here and read Reader's Digest for you. We could do 3 points in a poem. I could come up here and read you a Harry Potter novel or something. What do you want to hear? The Word or...
Amen.
The Word says, be ye holy as I am holy. In fact, God says, come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing.
Wow.
That's God talking.
Yeah.
That's New Testament. That's New Testament. And so, why? He loves you. He's not coming like, oh, you can't have fun. No, He's trying to say, I want you safe, protected, blessed, healthy, wealthy, all those things, but I can't do it if you're going to walk into the devil's territory. And just remember, if I make eye contact with anybody in this church as I'm preaching, I have nowhere else to look at. So eventually, my eyes are going to hit you, and if it happens to be in a point, don't think I'm just, that's not how I would operate anyways. If I needed to talk to you, trust me, I'd just talk to you. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's a small building. Once we get over there, maybe you'll be looked at a little less. Hallelujah. He says, which is holy, acceptable unto God. It's acceptable to God. That means anything unholy is unacceptable to Him. Well, we could camp out here for a long time, but we better not, because I need to get going. He says, which is your reasonable service. And, he says, and, so there's something that goes along with it. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So now, he tells you the second part of your three-part being, what to do with it. Your mind. He says, what to do with it. He says, to be transformed. Well, just so you know, if you'll do number 2, number 1 will be easier.
Amen.
Presenting your body holy to God is easier when you're doing number two. And I'll explain that in a second. Because lots of times people's bodies disqualify them from the blessings of God. They just do. Things that people do, things that places people go. You do realize, for me to be standing up here and pastoring two churches, things had to change in my life.
Amen.
The status quo was no longer acceptable. I had to come up, to come out, right? To go up, you're going to have to give up.
Yeah.
It's just the truth. You see it in the Word. People, God changes people. He burns off the chafe, the things that are hurting us, to get us to go to a higher level.
Amen.
To go up, you're going to have to give up. If you don't want to go up, don't give up. That's your, God will let you stay where you are, but I don't know. I'm just thinking, man, I want to do everything I can for God. I got one shot at this. I got one shot to impact the world as much as I can. I'm going to go for it. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. It means I miss it and I get right back in as quick as I can, though. He says to be not conformed to the world, but be transformed. Transformed what? Into what God has for you. Transformed into looking like this book. Transformed into the health that He's provided for you. Transformed into the prosperity. Transformed into the peace and joy and that freedom that is in the mind and in the emotions. He says the way you're going to be changed or transformed, remember the toys, and they have movies now, Transformers, where they change from one thing to another, right? He says to be changed or transformed, this is how it's going to happen. By the renewing of your mind.
Amen.
Brother Hagin, who was the foremost prophet to the world, went home to be with Jesus 2003. And we're just carrying on his legacy, by the way. You know what was awesome about this week of Reverend Greer meetings is he brought out the importance of Kenneth Hagin. Because you have to understand, this church is not here without Kenneth Hagin. It's just not. I'm not here without Kenneth Hagin. All the other family churches are not here. Now, Bible Christian Fellowship, before it was Family Church, that might have started. I don't know what Pastor Alessi's connection with Brother Hagin was, but the pastor that took it over, Pastor Michael, is not here without Brother Hagin.
Right.
And it's important to recognize that. Not that we worship a man, but I'll tell you what, everything he preached was right in line with the Word and Spirit, so we run with that same vision.
Yeah.
That's our calling. That's our plan, is the Word and the Spirit. We're going forward in the Word and the Spirit.
Amen.
And he said this statement. And when he would speak something like this, I would listen if I were you. He said the greatest need, before he died, he said the greatest need in the body of Christ today, well, that right there should perk your ears up. When a prophet of his magnitude and stature says the greatest need of the church, well, I'd want to know. He said is renewing their mind. So the greatest need out of anything. He didn't say they need more money. See, the renewing of the mind will bring more money. He didn't say health was the greatest need. No, the renewing of the mind will bring the health. Absolutely. He didn't say it was, you know, freedom from all those other things. No, because those things will be brought by the renewing of the mind. He said the renewing of the mind is the greatest need. Well, we can see in this verse that you can't be changed or transformed until you renew your mind. And actually go on even further. It says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can't get into the perfect will of God for your life. And just so you know, that perfect will of God is where the blessings are. That's where the prosperity is. That's where the peace is, the joy, the favor, the protection. You can't get into it until your mind's renewed. You see that there? That you may prove. So our spirit's made brand new, but our mind and body didn't change. So God gave us instructions of what to do with our mind and body. So he says to renew the mind. Well, that's fancy words and biblical and religious speak. You know, what does that mean? Renew your mind. What are you talking about? Well, we want it. When you can renew something, you can keep it the exact same way when you renew something. You can renew a membership and get the same benefits of that membership. But why would we want the same way as always? I had a AAA membership. I still do. You know, not too long ago, I'll just tell you this, I was at the Jamestown Church serving, which isn't that long ago, and I was getting ready to go into my truck, and I made a snowball, and I threw the snowball, and it went right through the truck. And you think, my God, Pastor, you have an arm on you! No, that's how thin and rusty my truck was. They used to call it the battle buggy. Well, Pastor Tim called it the battle buggy. He made up. One time we were going turkey hunting in the morning, and I was late getting there, and we were going down some dirt roads in Sugar Grove, Pennsylvania, and I said, hold on. He said, what do you mean hold on? We need to hold on this truck. I said, oh, you're going to need to hold on. Because I was like, we are not missing sunup for when the turkeys start gobbling. And I am going like 75 miles an hour, which might not seem that much, but going down a dirt road in the battle buggy is fast. And I hit a pothole, and I kid you not, it had to have been supernatural. It seemed as though one half of the truck went one way and one half of the truck went the other, but yet we just kept straight on going. That's what I'm talking about. And the thing went right through it. Well, I took out a membership for AAA because back then I was traveling a little bit and doing things, and the one membership I had, it was good. It was like $40 a year, $49. But then you could upgrade to AAA Plus, which offered more tows or something, and they gave you more mileage for how far they'd come out and tow you for free and different things. I thought that I would need that with the battle buggy. And I did a few times. I needed it with the battle buggy. And but the thing was, I renewed that membership, but when I renewed it, I upgraded. So when we renew our mind, we want to upgrade. We don't want to think the same way. So we're going to renew our mind with something better. What he's talking about is renewing your mind to the Word of God. That's better. What he's saying to do, I'm breaking what renewing your mind is down for you. Forgive me if you feel like I'm talking to you like you're a first grader, but that's how I learn. So that's how I just try to make it very plain. It's not because I think you're dumb. I'm not so confident in myself. So I just teach it how I learn it. So anyways, renewing your mind is taking your thoughts, your ways of doing things, your thoughts about certain things. I'll give you an example. When I came into the church, and I had grown up in a Methodist church, never got born again, nothing against the Methodist church, that's just the one I was in, they never taught me about salvation. And I would give money at times, and even when I came into Family Church, which was Bible Christian Fellowship at the time, I'd give money. But let's just say, I wasn't making this much back then, but let's just say I made $1,000 every 2 weeks, which the tithe on that would be $100. Right? When that would be the tithe, the 10%. And then the Bible says to give an offering too, right? So it'd be over 100. And the offering we know is whatever you purpose in your heart or if God tells you something different. Well, I would throw in a $20 bill. And I would almost be like, I'm hanging the moon here. 20 bucks, I am just... But yet the whole time the Word said that I was robbing God. And that I was disobeying God. Now see, my way of thinking was, and I guess I didn't realize how much of a cheapskate I was back then, but I always thought I was generous until I learned what generosity was in the Word of God. And I thought I was hanging the moon. That was my thought process on it. And then I saw that, hey, wait a second, the Word says something different. Now I have a choice. Because when I first heard about tithing, and tithing is one that's easy to talk about because it's something that you are practically doing. It's not because it's the most important thing, it's just easy to see examples of that. And and it helps you, I hope, to see that I struggled with this at once too. And I got that, saw that, and I thought, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I ain't doing that. That was what I thought at first, right? I was like, I don't even have any money, 10% and an offering? Are you crazy? But see, then I learned that, wait a second, his ways are higher than my ways.
Right.
His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And then I started to learn how much he loved me, and then I thought, well, you know what? I'd never tell my children, I didn't have children back then, but I thought, when I do, I'll never tell my kids things that are going to hurt them.
Right.
So I had a choice. I can go with my way of thinking, which is going to lead to not the perfect will of God, or I can renew my mind with what God has said and replace those thoughts. It's the same way with love and forgiveness. We talked about that last couple of weeks with doing the Word and forgiveness. Your mind will tell you one thing. Your mind will, in your flesh, will tell you, no, 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 they've wronged you, they've done this. You can do that and live that way, but the Word says to forgive no matter what. So you have a choice, right? Renew your mind with the Word of God and get into the perfect will of God, or stay in that place of disobedience. It's up to you, right? You can do that with submitting to church, submitting to ministry gifts. It's the same thing, and going to church and in your offerings, in your tithing, your love walk, how you raise your kids. Well, there's lots of pressure on how to raise children nowadays. I'll tell you, there are people around me that think we are nuts. Yet my kids are going to walk into everything that God has for them, and I won't be looking so nuts someday. Not that we do anything weird or crazy, it's just weird and crazy to people that are on the outside looking in. But they're going to be blessed, and they're going to walk in everything that God has, and so are your kids, praise God. But you have a choice. Go with the world's way of thinking. See, because here's what you have to remember, that the world is constantly telling you how to do things. How you should do with your money, how you should treat people, how what you should do with your time and your energy. The world's pumping that into you. And unfortunately, we're in the world way more than we're in here. And to tell you the truth, hopefully this isn't the case in here, but even outside of these walls, people aren't in the presence of God a whole lot. It's few and far between that people actually take this stuff seriously and are seeking God in their private life, that are actually in the Word of God. It's just, a lot of times, this is people's only encounter with God. Well, I'm glad for that encounter, but the thing is, even if you came to a faithful service on Sunday and faithfully on Wednesday, that's just 3 hours out of your whole week. The whole rest of the time, you're in a world that's pumping you exact opposite of what this book's telling you to do. Media, the news. The news is screaming fear. The news is screaming doubt. The news is screaming unbelief. The news is screaming poverty. Hollywood, movies, TV shows, friends and family, they're all just in your ear telling you stuff that are opposite of this book. So you can see how our minds would get flooded with things that need to be replaced and renewed with.
Amen.
And so we need to take it out and put something back in. And when you don't do that, that's when you have problems. When you just start thinking, well, I'm going to do it my way, or I'm just going to... how do I say it? I'll say it like this. The Bible says that the Word itself is the law of liberty.
Yes.
That you look into it. James said it's the perfect law of liberty. Well, I've said it this way to what I used to preach at youth group. I'd say, kids, make this a mirror. The Word is a mirror. And the mirror don't lie, unless you're at a crazy house. And it's one of those fun house mirrors. We were at one of those the other day at some store, I don't know, and it was the most awesome thing in the world. It made my torso look this big, but it looked like I was about 7 feet tall. My legs were so tall and that fast, I said, that's what should have happened. I'd be in the NBA, according to how good I am in my dreams anyways. And I don't know if that would translate into the natural. But you look into the perfect law of liberty, and whatever it says, it's so. Remember old... Rico Suave Charmer Pastor Mike that was trying to impress the girls on the playground when he was younger? Thought he was just hitting the mark with them, just, it's like I had my pick, you know, at least I thought I did in my head. I'm like, I'll just go and see which one takes my line, but takes the bait. And they're kind of giggling and stuff, and they didn't seem that interested in me, and I thought, they're just kind of shy or whatever. And then I went home and looked in the mirror, and there, to my horror, was Oreo cookie stains in the corner of my mouth, on both sides. I had pounded Oreos before I went to the playground. And I wanted desperately for that mirror to say something different, but it didn't. The mirror doesn't lie. The Word doesn't lie.
That's right. Amen. Good word.
Praise God. And if the Word says that you are wonderful, that God has a plan for you, that you're precious to Him, that you're beloved,
amen,
that's your thought process about yourself from now on.
Amen.
Say, yeah, but so-and-so, stop with the yeah buts. Remember, we're getting them out of here. We're starting an exercise class. We're bringing in spiritual butt masters. And it's going to get all the butts out. Because yeah, but someone's told me my whole life, so what? Someone new who's better is telling you something different. If the Word says you're forgiven and you can live as though you never did it wrong, stop beating yourself up and live according to the Word. That's called renewing your mind. That's called accepting what this says, no matter what the outward says.
That's right.
And, it's kind of like this. I don't mean to be stereotypical here, but it's usually when people are restoring cars, most of the time it's usually the men. There are some women that get into it, but usually it's the men, so I'll just use it for men. I'm not trying to exclude you ladies. If you do that, that's great, but anyways, so the guys will go out there, maybe they'll get a 1950s whatever, or even older, and it'll be a hunk of junk. I mean, it's not even, like, recognizable, right? You don't even know what that car used to be. It's just sitting there, doesn't even have paint on it. It's just a rust bucket, and somebody has visions of grandeur about this car, what they're going to do with it, right? They're going to restore it. They're going to take what's there and make it better. Well, you know what they don't do is they don't go out there, especially, and this is important to understand, especially in a situation where it's that bad. They don't just go out there, tinker with it for a half an hour, and expect that car to be changed. See, some people You have a spiritual hunk of junk in your mind concerning different things of the Bible. Whether it's how you view yourself. Whether it's how maybe you have a poverty mentality. You grew up with not having money and you've been told your whole life you're not going to have it. And you are stuck thinking, I'm never going to have money. That's a poverty mentality. That's a hunk of junk.
Yes.
Some of you might be told something by the doctors. And you have just bought into that and believed that. And you feel it in your body. You can see it on a test. You've become so convinced that it's opposite of what the Bible says, but you're so convinced. You've got a big spiritual hunk of junk in your mind that's going to need some time and attention given to it. I told about the time where I went through a severe bout of condemnation and depression. I mean, it went on for months. And that wasn't just something that needed a little maintenance. It needed a total restore. So I had to get and tinker with that thing a whole lot. I got in the Word, right? Some of us, when renewing the mind, whether it's a poverty mentality, a sickness mentality, depression, you're down on yourself, whatever it might be, fear, anxiety, you need to get in the Word and do a whole lot of repair and work in that subject, that area. But then what happens is the guy's restoring the car, he gets it to a place where, man, that thing is shiny and it looks good. But as he drives it and as the years go on, he still has to maintain it. He still has to do maintenance and upkeep. So you need to find out, where am I with prosperity? Where am I with healing? Where am I with raising my kids? What is my worry level like? What is my fear level like? Is it in the maintaining where I just need to kind of hit it every once in a while and go over these things? Because let's face it, we can't hit everything all the time. But where is these things? Do I need every once in a while? Am I starting to see maybe the timing belt of my prosperity is a little bit off? Or my the oil change of my healing needs to be attended to right now. And you find out where, and you give attention to it. You don't only know that by yourself. And so Brother Hagin would say this along those lines. He'd say, the mind doesn't stay renewed any more than the hair stays combed. Ladies and gentlemen, take a look at my son's colics that stick up. The reason, he doesn't even know what that is. He thinks it's the greatest thing in the world. I'm talking about him right now. We'll be laughing about this all day at home. So don't be like, oh, I feel bad. You don't even know what a colic is. I'll tell you later. But you see those things? And actually, they're only good because we put an Under Armour hat on him before he came to try to flatten those out. The reason I tell you that, you know where he got those from. Y'all see anything on her? You ought to see me when I'm glad you don't, but you ought to see me when I wake up in the morning. It is the most bizarre, hair going everywhere. I'm serious. Thank God for some super powerful gel. What would I do without the powerful gel? I mean, it's the craziest thing in the world. And I tried to shave my head once, and the problem was, I tried to shave my head because deal with all the cops, and I looked like Eddie Munster. I had the worst widow's peak right in the front. And I looked like him. I said, I'll take the colics and just, I'll invest in some gel. But that's where he gets them from. Me. So what do? I can't wake up every day and just expect that, well, I put the gel in it and did something with it the day before, so I'm just going to go to bed and wake up and go out in the world and just hope that everything's okay. No, he said the mind doesn't stay renewed any more than the hair stays combed. What does it need? Just like that car, constant maintenance. And I told you that every single day, and I should qualify that because I don't want to sound like a liar. I should say that this way. I endeavor every single day to be in faith and healing scriptures because those are two areas I cannot go without in this world. Everything revolves mostly around those two things, really. And so, but then if I find out, maybe I'm starting to beat myself up or I'm in some condemnation, I'll get over to that. Or maybe a situation has arose and I'm starting to get a little fearful or I can sense worry coming up. Well, then I just go to maintain it. Renew my mind to what the Word says. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it's when you don't do this is when you get in trouble. Well, may I give you an example biblically? And as Reverend Greer would say, he said, I knew you'd ask me to do that, right? That's what he says. And so I want to give you a biblical example. Remember Abraham and Sarah?
Yes.
God told them what? You're going to have a baby. That was the word of God.
Yes.
That's what they should renew their mind to. Now think about their situation as they got older. They were told this at around 75, the baby didn't come till 100. Doesn't mean you have to wait 25 years for your promise.
Right.
There was a whole lot of time in that time frame where they were in doubt and unbelief. It wasn't until they got fully persuaded, the Bible says, convinced that the promise came. They just didn't believe God. And we see by their actions they didn't. They both were laughing at him, but then they did one major thing that proved and demonstrated, we don't believe you. Well, faith is how you receive. And so they're told they're going to have a baby. Now think of all the things, remember we talked about the world is telling you all things contrary to what God is saying. Think of all the things that would have been screaming to them, no, you're not. Every time a new birthday candle was put on that cake, it would have been saying, another year older, you don't have babies. They look in the reflection, oh, new wrinkle. Oh, new gray hair. Oh, new kink in my hip. Or whatever it is, I don't know. It would have been talking. No, you're not. No, you're. And you know, because people have big mouths, me included at times, try not to, but we do, that you know that Abraham and Sarah would have told somebody else.
Sure.
That, especially Sarah, the way that she was. And I'm not saying all women. Ladies, put those daggers in your eyes back. You don't look at me that way. But this woman, she talked and just kind of ran him off a little bit. But anyways, you know they would have said, God told us we're going to have a baby. So you know people around said, you're nuts. People your age don't have babies. Everything talking to them contrary to the word of God. So what they do, instead of just renewing their mind, making the word their standard, life gets easy when you just make this your standard. It takes the guesswork out of things. It does. Oh, it says walk in love. Okay. See, you know what that does? Because think about when you don't want to walk in love. We've all been there. When you don't want to forgive or you're angry or bitter at someone, you know what that feels like. Isn't it the worst feeling? It is so powerful. It is so powerful. But see, the word just clears that. The word says, you have to forgive and walk in love. Oh, okay, I don't have to live by that feeling. Woohoo, great. I might feel that strongly, but I don't have to be governed by that feeling. Helps you. Anyways, they didn't make the word their standard. They listened. They listened to their bodies. They listened to their mind. They listened to each other. I'm sure they sat there and talked about it. You know, God must have missed this one. When they're laying there at night, you're getting older. I'm getting older. I don't even feel like doing what we have to do to make a baby. You know that was going on. I'm just trying to be real. I'm not trying to be graphic. I'm just trying to be real. Can we be real in church? You know that's what's happening. And then, what'd they do? Well, we want a child, so we're going to go do it our own way. Right? They went out and got Hagar.
Yeah.
Didn't they?
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what happened? A younger lady came in, was in appropriate relationships with Abraham, and they had a baby, didn't they?
Yeah.
They did. They had a baby. And from that day forward, Ishmael was the baby that God didn't promise. To this day, Ishmael is a problem over there in the Middle East.
Yes. Yeah.
Ishmael, from the day he was born, became an enemy of Israel.
Yeah.
From the day he was born.
Yeah.
They didn't do it God's way. And go read the consequences of it. It's not good. Well, why? They didn't renew their minds to the Word of God. Think about Peter. Think about Peter when Jesus appeared to them in the middle of the night on the water. And Peter said, they got afraid, and Jesus said, don't be afraid, it's me. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come.
Yeah.
Tell me to come. Well, Jesus said, yeah, come on out. Well, that was the word of God.
Yeah.
Well, Peter apparently renewed his mind to the word. There was still water, there were still waves, and there was still wind, yet Peter got out of that boat in the midst of all that and walked on the water. The Bible said he walked on water.
Yeah.
But there, Peter must not have been to our spiritual exercise class, because the Bible says, but we just sign up for classes, our exercise classes. We'll get those butts moved right out of here. It says, but when he saw that the wind and the waves, they were always there. The idea of walking on water was always impossible. But he didn't look at those other things. He looked at the word. And the Bible says, when he saw that the wind and the waves were, however, what did he do? Began to sink. Began to sink. He didn't. He took his renewed his mind off of what the word said into the circumstances. We can't do that, ladies and gentlemen. Whatever the word says, that's what we are. That's what we do.
Yeah, man.
We don't question it. We just do it, right? Just think and do it is what we said last week.
Yeah.
Well, I was saying to you, and we're going to close here. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll close with these verses here. Remember I was saying to you that if you'll do verse 2, renewing your mind, verse 1 will be easier, which was what? Bring your body a living sacrifice.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I can't tell you how many people aren't used of God because they don't do the right things with their body. It matters what you do with your body. It matters the way you go. Well, some people, they're in bondages of things. To addictions, to wrong living, just different things. They're in bondage. It's hard. I'm not saying it's not. I was there. But you know what I remember? Because my body used to get me in a whole lot of trouble. I was very immoral. I was very just promiscuous lifestyle, just being honest without getting too details. Put things in my body, take my body, play, just do things that God would never be able to use me. And when I went to Bible school, I hadn't been born again that long. And I went to Bible school, and I remember sitting on a park bench at a park in Oklahoma I drove to. And I'm sitting, and I tried to get anywhere I could where the woods were, because it made me feel like I was back home, and I would sit there, these big trees. And I knew God was dealing with me at Bible school of the way I was living my life. Now, things had changed from when I got born again in January till the time that I left for Bible school, but not fully. Still kind of living in the world and still kind of giving into some of those cravings and desires of the flesh. And the Lord told me, I'm never going to be able to use you until you get these things figured out. Well, I said, well, that's great that you tell me that, but Lord, I don't know how to get help for this. Are you ready, ladies and gentlemen, to get help for the things that have bogged you down, the addictions that you've had, the bondages that you've had, the lusts of the flesh? Because number one, pray in tongues a lot. The Bible says if you pray, the Spirit will mortify the deeds of the flesh. If you don't know anything about praying in tongues, give me a call. We'll talk about it. It's not weird and spooky if you do it the way the Word says to do it. But anyways, the Bible says the more time in the Spirit, the deeds of the flesh will be pulverized, gone. But the Lord took me, I said, okay, Lord, that's great that you tell me that, but help me now. What am I going to do about it? And he told me about praying in tongues. But he brought me to a verse. Hold your place here in 2 Corinthians. I'm just following the Spirit right now. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is to help people. Because the wrong things you do with your body and put in your body, they're not helping you. And they, and ladies and gentlemen, they will hinder you from how much God can use you on this earth.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
There's certain things that people do that you know for a fact, if you saw your pastor doing, it would blow your mind.
Sure.
Right? Well, we're not going for the pastor's standard, we're going for God's standard. I'm just trying to hit God's standard.
Yeah.
Right? But that's what I'm trying to say is God wants to use you, God wants to help you, God wants to free you from those things. Well, how? I'm here to help you with that. Just like I was sitting on a park bench. Go to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. He says, what? What? Say what? Know ye not that your body? And you say, my body.
My body.
That your body is the temple of what? The Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Well, what's the Holy Ghost? God.
Yeah.
Your body is the very housing place or dwelling place for the Spirit, the most precious thing on planet Earth today lives in you. God thought that you were worthy of taking up residency inside of you. Yet, our minds are not renewed to that, and I'll tell you, and I'll give you an example of why they're not and how they're not. Because the things we do with our bodies, the things we put in our bodies, the places we take our bodies, evidently we don't have a revelation or a renewed mind that the Spirit's inside you. If you'll take the renewing of your mind, what I'm going to show you, and the power of the Spirit, it'll be a dynamic combination and it'll get that thing out of your life. The cravings and addictions I used to have were so strong, I would have never thought in a million years that there would be a day that I would be completely free. There would never be a day that I thought I could drive by a casino with not just having to go in there and spend all my money. And I drive by one twice every Saturday on the way to Olean. Don't even think a thing about it. And there was a day when I thought, this thing has me. And God, through what I'm telling you, destroyed it. There was never a day that I thought that I could go without alcohol in my life. Never a day. Never a day. I didn't think that. I thought I had such a control and hold on me. And now I do with it. I haven't had a drink in years.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, just true. Just there's never a day that I thought I could do some of the things I did that had me so put in my body. And God freed me. So I'm telling you how He's going to free you.
Amen.
It was through the Spirit and through this. He says, Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If you would renew your mind to the fact that your body is not your property, you wouldn't do it. You want to know why? If I said you needed a vehicle, here, borrow mine. I guarantee there wouldn't be Taco Bell wrappers all over the floor when you got done with it. I guarantee that you wouldn't leave all your papers and your mess and do things in that vehicle. You take care of it. I guarantee if I had you over to my house, you wouldn't come over and just kick your feet off, throw them up on the table, get something to eat, leave the plates and the forks all over and dishes ever. You wouldn't do that. It's my house. You wouldn't, if you had muddy feet, you wouldn't walk into my house and just trash your mud all over. You'd be very careful. Pastor, you want me to take off my shoes? Same way I would be in your house. I remember one time I borrowed my pastor's Harley. I mean, that's a sight, me on a Harley. Because he has the big Harley. We're not talking about sports. So this is what I looked like at a stoplight. Can I get in touch with Brian Harley? And I'm trying to balance that thing. Oh, what a sight. That's big, that thing. And I did it. Praise God. That was fun. I think we have pictures to prove it. If you have those pictures, you better not be proving it. I'm just kidding. But when I borrowed that thing, oh, the care. I made sure that I only go down the roads that I knew that nothing would kick up and dent it or scratch it. I made sure to you know, take such meticulous care of that thing. Why? It wasn't mine. How much more for something that the Spirit dwells on the inside? Nobody's coming down against you. I'm readily telling you these things are tough in the flesh. I mean, if you try to do this on your own, you'll struggle. I know they're hard in the natural. But if you'll renew your mind to the point, the fact that I don't... You know what's interesting about it? Is that you might even do that with your own vehicle and your own car, but yet something changes when you get in somebody else's or someone else's house. So it's possible to do it when you realize that... So when you actually get a realization that something else is not yours, you don't treat it like it's yours. Your car might look like garbage, but if you got mine for a week, I bet it wouldn't look like garbage when you were done. You might have a messy house, but I guarantee if you came and watched my house for a week, it'd be clean when you were done. I guarantee it. Because it's not yours. But see, we need to get so sold out in our minds that our bodies are not ours. And it'll help you. So the Spirit and renewing your mind to that. Amen. Now let's get going. 2 Corinthians chapter... I don't even know what I said. 2 Corinthians chapter... Oh, let's see. 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. So I want to help you here. Now there's no condemnation, right? We know that. Your pastor, that's why I'm so careful to make sure you know the garbage that I went to. I don't magnify that stuff, but to show you, I'm just as real as anybody. And there's things I still have to put my flesh under, and there's things that I still have to renew my mind, and I still have to use faith. I still have to walk in love. I still get the same bitterness and resentment when people wrong me. I get the same feelings that you do. Wants to wrong people, wants to talk behind people's back, wants to be evil towards them. I get those same feelings. I just don't give in to them. Amen. And when I start to, I just get back into God as quick as possible. Amen. Because we're not perfect, right? He says in verse 5, casting down imaginations. Where do imaginations originate from? Your head. Yep. Well, what kind of imaginations? And everything, so it goes along with this. That exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. He says, any imagination, and actually it goes on to say, and bring into captivity every thought. So we're talking about the mind, the realm of the mind here. Any thought, any imagination that you would have that would try to exalt itself above the Word. Well, let me just give you an example of that. When Abraham and Sarah told they're going to have a baby, their thoughts are, you're old, you're not going to have a baby. Well, that's exalting itself above what God has said. Or Peter, walk on the water. Peter, sure, Jesus isn't going to ask him to come out and get hurt. But the wind and the waves were exalting themselves above what Jesus said. And are telling them, no, you can't, no, you can't. Well, the Bible tells us what to do with those things. You know, a bill shows up all of a sudden. And instead of you thinking along the lines of the Word, that my money's coming for that thing, we start thinking, oh, God, I'm not going to be able to pay it. The creditors are going to call me. They're going to take my car away. They're going to take my house away. That's where our mind goes. Or a sickness comes on our body. Instead of going directly to the Word, I will heal all your diseases, we go to, oh, boy, what's this look like for having this for years? What's this going to be like? Oh, this is probably going to end up killing me. That's where we go, right? I mean, am I the only one? Am I the only real human here today? I'm going to tell you, this, my mind immediately goes. It is amazing how pessimistic my mind is. It's always waiting for the other shoe to fall. It's always like, what bad's going to happen? I can't live out of this thing. It will crush me. It will destroy me if I live out of here. I have to live out of here.
Amen.
The mind is a terrible place to live. And if you don't stop living out of your mind, it is going to destroy you.
Yeah.
Because the mind just has a tendency to just imagine the worst and take you to the worst.
Right.
The Bible says to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So this is what you do. This is the walking out of this. You get a bill that you can't pay, that you know you don't have the money for in your account. You know you don't have a savings plan. I mean, you can't pay it. You have a choice now. Am I going to believe the bill, believe what my mind's telling me, or am I going to believe what the Word says? The Word says, my God shall supply.
Yeah.
All your needs. That means when a need arrives, the supply is just down the road if you'll be in faith.
Hallelujah.
Don't blow that road up with your doubt and unbelief and have that faith go, or that supply go falling in the hole.
Yeah.
That's what people do. So now you have a choice. Well, we know what the thoughts are going to be. Where's that money going to come from? I'm never going to be able to pay this. Oh, my paycheck says this and this. Well, what you're supposed to do when you start imagining having thoughts, you get your spiritual lasso out. Did he say take captive?
Yeah.
Or your spiritual handcuffs, whatever it is. And that thought, you get it, pull that thing tight, start bringing it somewhere. Where? Bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. You bring that thought of doubt and unbelief and poverty to the Word.
Amen.
And you say, wait a second, that thought doesn't line up with what the Word says. So therefore, I'm to cast that thing down.
That's right. Amen.
I'm not to believe that thing.
That's right.
That's how you do it. That's how people are victorious and successful. The ones that can have chaos and hell all around them, and their mind jumping on board with the chaos and hell all around them, and their mind running wild, that can stand and say, the Word is my guide.
Amen.
I won't believe anything apart from the Word. And remember, the thought life is where the devil's realm is. That's where he... How did he deal with Adam and Eve? Thoughts, suggestions. How did he deal with Jesus? Thoughts and suggestions. How's he going to deal with you? Thoughts and suggestions. Just because the devil says it over and over and over again doesn't mean it's true.
That's right.
Doesn't mean it's true. It doesn't mean it's true. That's what he tries by repeated sayings to get you to take the bait. He'll repeat it over and over. Oh, you're horrible. You're no good. You're worthless. Does it make it true? You'll never get out of poverty. You'll always be in debt. You'll never pay your bills. You're never going to be financially free. Does it make it true?
Right. That's good word.
And I know I'm going a little long, but it's needed to say this. And actually, I started preaching at like 10:44 or something, so we're not even at an hour yet. I mean, most of our TV shows are an hour. But I'll be done here in a minute. I usually don't go this long, but I do need to say this because this is important that you get this. God's word was, children of Israel, the land is yours. The natural, what they could touch and see, a doctor's report is something you can touch and see. A bill and a checking account is something you can touch and see. And the report was, this land is yours. Well, they went and saw the land, and there were people already there. There were cities, walls. What was it all doing? Screaming at them, you're not getting this land. What is your bills doing? You're not walking into prosperity. You'll never have enough. What's your doctor's report saying? You're going to have this for the rest of your life. It's impossible. You'll never get fixed. Maybe the way your kids are, this is the way that it's screaming at you. Or your marriage, whatever. I don't know what it is. And it's screaming at you. And it might be so real, it's tangible. You can touch it. You can feel it. You can see the money that's not there in the bills. You can see the doctor's report. Doesn't make it real. Evidently, God said to the children of Israel, because they believed, right? They believed. Only two people believed God's word. The rest of them believed the report of what they saw and thought, and they were kept out of the promise. And God said, that's evil what you're believing. He didn't say it was untrue. The doctor's report is as real as the day is long. That no money in your account is as real. That poverty manifesting in your life right now as real as the day is long. But God is saying, God is evidently saying, you take my word and you trump what you can see.
Amen.
That's called faith.
Amen.
When Abraham crossed over from the doubt and unbelief that the birthday candles, that cousin whoever was telling him, that his body was telling him, when he crossed over from that and said, I don't care anymore what my body's saying, what so-and-so's saying, what the birthday candles are saying. All I care about is that the Word said, I'm having a child. When he was fully persuaded, the Bible said he became convinced. He considered not his own body, being now dead, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he considered not. When you get to that place, that's when things start happening.
Amen.
It'll only get there when you renew your mind to this. When you say, this is my guide, no matter what I see, no matter what I feel, no matter what I hear, this is what I believe. And when you'll stand firm to that and draw a line in the sand with that and grasp onto that and hold fast to that confession, the Bible says to hold fast to it. Yeah. Not just with your little thing. Hold fast to that confession. You hold fast to the Word. Doesn't matter what your bills are doing. Doesn't matter what the paycheck's doing. Doesn't matter what your body's doing. Doesn't matter what the job's doing. Doesn't matter what the news is saying. You hold fast to what the Word is saying. That's when the manifestation will show up in the natural. Because you were a faith person. And your faith made it come to pass through the power of God. Renew your mind, whatever you need to help in, renew it to the Word of God. And that's what you are, and that's what you'll have.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word this morning. Thank you for people's patience to listen to it, Father. You just love us so much, Lord, to help us with this stuff. So thankful, so grateful. Oh, Father, we love you, we love you, we love you, we praise you and magnify you. You're so good, you're so good, you're so good. Okay, Lord, yeah. Concerning that word that we was given out in the beginning of service, that the baby thing, you just go and you praise God that you'll have a child. It's in His Word. If you want a baby, you can have a baby. Say, just go and praise Him. Just go and praise Him. The Lord's telling me to tell you to just praise Him and thank Him. No matter what's being told, say, Father, I thank you. I'll have a baby. I thank you. And if you need verses on what to stand on, because we can only have what the Word says we can have, I'll give you verses and you grasp onto those things. Hallelujah. Thank you for that, Father. Just love on Him for a second. Just love on Him for a second. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We glorify you. We love you, Lord. Thank you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. Jesus is so wonderful. He just came to this earth, died on the cross. The Bible says so our sins would be forgiven so that we could have eternity in heaven. We could become children of God and walk into everything that God has for His children. He's such a wonderful dad. But the Bible says that salvation has been provided for everybody, but now it's our turn to do something about it. I don't know everybody personally in here, and I don't know everybody that might be listening on live stream or on the archives in the future. But if you're here or listening and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, listen, I don't care if you've gone to church. That doesn't get you into heaven. I don't care if you've been a good person. That doesn't get you into heaven. I don't care if you've done a lot of bad things. That doesn't keep you out of heaven. The only thing that gets you in is receiving Jesus. The only thing that keeps you out is rejecting Him. So if you believe that He died and rose again, you want Him to come into your life, we're going to pray a prayer here together. Now, you're not going to have to do that on your own or think of the words to say or stand up in front of anybody or even come down to the front. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. We're not going to embarrass you or point you out. But if there's anybody in this service that wants to receive Jesus, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around, would you just lift your hand in there if you want to receive Jesus? You can say, Pastor, I don't know if I've ever made Him the Lord of my life. I believe in Him, but I'm not sure if I ever did. Anybody at all in here want to receive Jesus, just lift your hand. Anybody? Father, I don't see any hands in here, and maybe there doesn't need to be. That means we're all walking with you, which that would be wonderful. But if by chance somebody in here, under the sound of my voice, whether it be on live stream right now or archives in the future, if they have never received you, I pray that they would not pass from this life till they made Jesus their Lord. Father, thank you for making it simple. All you need to do is go out of here and get in a private place today and just say, Lord, I do believe in you. I ask you to come into my heart. Once you do that, the Bible says you're saved. There's a whole new beginning for you that I'd like to help you get started on. If you can get a hold of me, you can get our number, email on the website, and we'll get you hooked up in a good Bible teaching church, get some materials into your hand, and get you off and running on this new life that God has for you. Father, we love you this morning. We honor you. You're wonderful and magnificent. We praise your name in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Don't forget, Wednesday night, 6:30. Have a good rest of the weekend. You are dismissed.